It's Rachel and John jagging around. We're celebrating 412 Eve, and it's which means it's April 11th, as we said earlier. And the cool
thing is, that's so literal. That's something I would say.
We're celebrating with two people who are celebrating 412 Day and celebrating Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And they're not even originally from Pittsburgh.
They're
so
not.
Grace from Bakery Square, the events marketing and events coordinator, is still here.
Director.
And yes, we're making her the director tonight. And Sylvia McCoy, who we met through Berg Bits and Bites. And Sylvia, welcome to KDKA.
Thanks for having me.
Well, holy smokes. It's just unbelievable to think that not only are we celebrating 412 Eve tonight with you guys.
Which is 411.
Right, uh-huh. Yes. But you are up for USA Today's food tour. So of the number one food tour in the country. So before we get to that, I know Rachel has this sort of thing where we got to get to your nuh-uhs. As we know, we don't really speak Pittsburghese unless I have a few beers. Then the up-airs and down-airs start to come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we always love this thing where nuh-uh, like when you say something that's cool in the neighborhood. Grace, we're talking off air. Do you have a neighborhood nuh-uh for us?
Okay.
Ish.
When I was thinking about my neighborhood nuh-uh, am I saying it right?
Yeah,
was that,
you are.
Or was that too Valley Girl?
Oh, no. No, you were not Jersey. No, no, you're good.
I was thinking about a lot of things from my living in Oakland experience.
Mm-hmm.
There were many things. There were raccoons. There were weird, creepy people. There was
when
parking.
You say raccoons, you mean just like daytime?
Okay.
Oh, you're going to tell
it?
Me. Just do it.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll say it.
Okay, do it.
There was this raccoon that would visit us every night, and we named him Rusty because he looked like he had been electrocuted. Like, all his hair, it wasn't a black and white cute raccoon. He was definitely rabid. I mean, his hair stuck up out straight, and he was brown, and he had these long talons, and it was me and my four best friends, college roommates, all girls, and we would come home from class at night, and he would be on our front porch.
Like greeting you.
Yes. Greeting, but not in a cute way.
No, well, nothing about raccoons are cute.
But yes, I'm.
So Oakland is the neighborhood.
So we said
of raccoons. Yeah. But what was going to be your positive?
Okay. Here's my favorite fun fact. Mm-hmm. I was in the Heinz History Museum, mm-hmm. and I was on the Heinz floor, mm-hmm. and I read about how in 1830 whatever he came up with the number 57.
Oh yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's so funny because you said that thing about being really literal.
Yeah,
he said that he saw an ad that said like 21 styles of shoes and he liked the ring to it, so he was like, 57, that sounds nice. Like, there's no rhyme or reason.
Right.
He just liked it.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that's how everyone should approach life.
Well, you know, it's, I love that. I love that that's the end of the story. But, you know, didn't we go through that, John, with Rolling Rock, right?
The 33. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody knew. It was like there were these wives' tales about where 33 came from. And I believe it was the same thing. Like, they wanted you to just keep guessing that there was some reason, profound reason behind it all. And there was not.
And I love the fact that when you put those things out there, if you put it on, you just said that. Here's the fact that there's no rhyme or reason to 57.
Yeah.
If you put that on Facebook right now as a question, people would argue. It was this.
5 + 7.
Yeah.
It's lucky number. You know, maybe that is a theory, but I just thought it was funny because I read the plaque thinking I'm going to hear some profound answer. And I was like,
and you're like
he just liked the way it sounded
in
1830. Okay.
That's funny.
That's a cool story.
I really like it.
Yeah.
So it's close to the nuh-uh. And Sylvia, you are truly the queen of communities at this point. You know, we talked about this. You were on the podcast about 6 months ago. And we talked about, we don't even remember the first time that we really even met you because we were so enthralled whenever we knew what you were doing with the Berg Bits and Bites. And now here you are up for this a major award. How do you feel about this?
Really excited.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled. I have to say, it's not just me. I have to give credit and kudos to my team because I'm nothing without my team. And it's really because of them that we're also getting this recognition. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. And it takes a village, right, for something like that to happen. But, you know, the fact that we said this before you came on, Pittsburgh loves Pittsburgh, and we love to boast about people who are doing this kind of thing. So how did you find out and explain exactly what the award is? Because we don't do it justice.
So USA Today has chosen 20 food tours in the United States that they deem best of. And we happen to be one of them. We're in the same contest with Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Sonoma, Nashville. So really big cities. And I don't even really know how we were nominated, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
They just emailed us and said, hey, can you send a picture along with, you know, any relevant information? And we'd like to include you in this contest. So it was a very nice
At
surprise.
Some point, did you think it was fake?
Well, yes, because you always have to double check things
right.
like that.
Right.
But then I did some research and I saw that it is legit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, and I know it is now, but I would be like that person that's like, this is great, but wait.
Yeah.
Let me just make sure, like, is this a real thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How cool. I mean, it truly does make us so excited that it's something that we know about, that people really love. Your team has grown this tremendously.
Sylvia, your Berg Bits and Bites is literally a plethora of nuh-uhs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
right.
Then if people haven't heard of you first, they should probably get out from underneath their rock. But what is Berg Bits and Bites and how long have you been doing
it? Google it. It's easy.
So we've been doing it for 17 years. It's a food tasting adventure and historic walking tour of Pittsburgh neighborhoods. So basically we go into communities like the Strip District, Brookline, Lawrenceville, every week, and we go to small local businesses. We taste what they have there, their specialties. But we also tell the history, the immigrant history, the food story histories, and we talk about the neighborhood. We just want an overall appreciation for these people to have an overall appreciation of the neighborhood.
It's literally a taste, as far as a taste of walking around the neighborhood, an emotional taste, a geographical taste, and then you turn around and then you get to taste things from the neighborhood, which is super cool. And the one that we did that was unbelievable, and it really has made me want to basically move to that neighborhood, is the Brookline.
Yeah.
And can you tell a little bit of the story about, it's Joe, the original owner from Pita Land, because you turned us on to that and I can't stop going there.
Yeah. So Joe Shaheen, we talked about his story, and if you were fortunate enough, unfortunately, Joe passed away. I guess it's been about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And but whenever we were fortunate enough to go on the tours and to meet Joe, he would tell this story of how he came over from Lebanon, and he came over here with his wife on his honeymoon. She got pregnant. There was a civil war that broke out, and he couldn't go back. So he went to the judge, and the judge said, you need to go back. And he said, I'm so sorry, my wife is pregnant, there's civil war. And the judge said, well, what would you like to do? And he's like, I have this dream of opening up a grocery store, a Middle Eastern grocery store, and I want to sell pita to everybody. And the judge said, bring me a business plan. He did. And he granted him the ability to stay and to do exactly that. And so now Pita Land is what it is today. And just to hear when Joe used to tell the story, people would be in tears listening to him tell this story or clapping. He was such, and we called him the Willy Wonka of pita bread.
Yes.
Because he was such a character in the neighborhood. And here's an interesting fact.
Wait, we want to hear that fact, but we want to know more about Brookline and other communities. So stay with us. It's John and Rachel. This is the Voice of Pittsburgh, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDK. John and Rachel.
Here we go to it.
It's John and Rachel, and it takes the outsider to kind of pull all this together for us. As we were chatting during the commercial breaks, Grace was sitting here talking to Sylvia, and who are those people? Well, you should have been listening, because they are amazing Pittsburgh stories, and we love to tell them. Grace is actually, what's her new title, John? Marketing Director
for Bakery Square? Marketing Director. She was great. She was coordinator when she walked in here an hour ago.
We donned her.
Yes, we just did a petition to say she's the director.
She got a raise, And then we brought Sylvia in from Berg Bits and Bites. They're fast friends. And something that Grace was saying was that both of these women, and we joke about this, that Pittsburgh is very particular about how long you've been in Pittsburgh, right? Like, wait, are you a Yinzer? Like, how long have you really been here? And the truth is, honestly, I think Pittsburgh is so proud that we've come such a long way that people want to be here. Mm-hmm. We love hearing stories like yours, in the sense that you came here, you liked it enough that you made your life here. And to us, that's the biggest, kudos that we could get. So what Grace was saying was, go ahead, you tell everybody what you were saying, being an outsider.
I was just saying, like, both of us sitting here celebrating 412 Day and being like the forefront of it. It's interesting because we're not from Pittsburgh, but I think because we're not from Pittsburgh, because we're outsiders, we come in with a new perspective. And like to all the Yinzers, I mean, obviously they still appreciate the culture, but we're new eyes. And
sure.
We get to see new it in a new way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
for sure.
So Sylvia Berg, Bits and Bites. And again, once again, you're up for the USA Today's number one food tour in the United States. People should go vote. They could go to your Facebook and Instagram page to figure out how to do that. So we met you on the Brookline tour, as we said before the break. What are the other tours that you do and what are you working on? Because please hold the applause for the last one that we know is coming up.
I know, someone in here is too close to it.
But, but what was the first one you did and then how did they evolve?
So we started in the Strip District. We expanded to Lawrenceville, Brookline, Southside, and then Butler County Tourism. They contacted us and they said, hey, we've got this cute little gem of a town. Would you consider coming out to Saxonburg? So we now have a tour in Saxonburg. And then the wonderful business owners in Harmony, PA and Butler County contacted us as well and said, hey, we've got all these business owners and wonderful small businesses and cool history and food. Would you consider bringing a tour out here? So we're doing that as well. So those are the established tours. And then Rachel's really excited about this one.
Get ready. Drum roll here. Dun, dun, dun. Right?
We're starting a tour in the north side.
Boom!
And we're going to be exploring Western Avenue. We're starting up at Babb Insurance, which used a very historic building.
Right.
From the 1900s, it was the Snyder family. And the house, believe it or not, back then, in 1910, $400,000. And when you walk in that house, which access to, has a ballroom, had an elevator. I mean, it was top of the line. And the details. So anyways, $400,000 in 1910.
Is that the one that has the horse, the garage basically for the horse and carriage, the horse and buggy? Didn't we go there?
So yes. They have like a Blitzburg type bar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Across from CCAC, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We said, what is this big area? They said, this is where they would bring basically a garage for your horse and carriage. It's unbelievable.
Listen, no one is donning Sylvia a true Pittsburgher, I am, because she said used to be. You heard it, right? You said it used to be. And that is such a Pittsburgh thing. We don't even say used to. It's used to. And used you to did be. It. You yeah. said it used to be. But that is so true. We know exactly where that is because of the context clues that you gave. And that is such a cool place to start. Wow.
Yeah. So that's,
oh my gosh.
That's going to be our newest tour and our starting location.
So when you get a new tour like that, Harmony or Saxonburg, where do you go do the research, or do you have researchers? You have people now, right? You know, I tease, but really you must have some help as far as pulling these facts together.
I do. So I reach out to a lot of the community leaders. If there's a historic society within the neighborhood, I contact them as well. I have a tour guide. His name is Richard. He has a PhD in history from CMU. So that's very helpful.
Yeah.
I can ask Richard things, but it's a lot of research, talking to people, doing research. Online. And then I think that the best stories, though, they come again from when you talk to people that have lived there and they have personal stories and you can incorporate that. So it's a lot of story collecting from different resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know, and you also work with Bonnie Baxter, right? And she did the houses or the buildings.
Doors open.
Yeah, Doors Open. Another fantastic thing. I know she's not doing it any longer, but you know, it's the essence of combining a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And that's what Pittsburgh loves. And I think that you hit the sweet spot of, we want to know a little bit about this community, enough to have a conversation, right? You're not going to go into this. You wouldn't have enough time. You want to show a couple different places. So you're giving just enough for people to want to go learn more. And then here's a little something else.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, what was important is that the tours don't end with the tour after, you know, you're done eating and exploring the neighborhood. It's these people going back to the small businesses and visiting the communities and neighborhoods on their own after the tour. Mm-hmm. And that happens all the time. So I think I gave this example once before, but we're in Salonika or Stimulus. And I gave a tour there 3 weeks ago. And someone will walk in and they'll be like, I was on your tour 3 weeks ago. I'm coming back from the yogurt. I'm coming back to get the cheese.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing my family and my friends. And we're telling them about, you know, the history that you shared with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it continues beyond just the end of the tour. And that is so important to me, that we continue to support those small businesses.
Well, John, I mean, he gave the example of Pitaland. We obviously, living here our whole lives, we knew it existed and it sounded like a lovely place until we went, right, for the tour. Now we go, for real, 2 to 3 times a month. I mean, weekly. It's like a weekly trip at this point. And I fell in love with 802 coffee.
802 Bean, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, and we've gone back there as well. My husband and I do coffee on Sundays, and that was one of the places that we had to go.
And isn't it interesting that even on that tour, I know we keep focusing on Brookline, we could highlight it in a few others, but that's my personal experience in that not only is there Pita Land where you could get fresh Mediterranean, very Middle Eastern recipe or food, you could go two blocks down the road and go to the Latino Mexican grocery store, right? And it's, so it's a restaurant. It's a, so it's kind of cool that all of that is just in one neighborhood.
Right. Yeah, and that's, I think that's what surprises a lot of people, because especially with Brookline, they'll be like, Brookline, where's Brookline? And then they'll go, what's in Brookline? And, you know, and then they're amazed whenever they leave. They're like, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And then what we also talk about, interesting, this is another little cool little bits fact, but it's not too far from Brookline, is Canton Avenue, right? This is a little bit of historic information. But it's the steepest street in the continental United States, Canton Avenue. And it's like 10 minutes from there.
Right.
It's so cool. I made my kids run up it. They hate me for that.
Wait, was it punishment or you were just like that?
I was just like, this is fun. Go. And they're like, okay.
I know. People always think of the place over in
Rialto Street,
right?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, and then there was the windy street that would go up that they use for the bicycling tournament. But Canton Avenue is completely different than that. It's the one nobody knows about.
Yep.
Now, it's Grace, have you heard of all these places? Are you familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Because if I would make a recommendation, in fact, a lot of people, you know, obviously we love our neighborhoods in the city, but Harmony is phenomenal. I mean, we went, and I believe it was because we were doing a Where You At, which we do, you know, a neighborhood that we specifically talk about. And I could have stayed there forever. And we found a boutique there that John has now visited twice for your daughter and granddaughter.
Zillion Opal, right? You know,
it's, no, it was Harmony.
It's right there because they're connected. It's right there.
Oh, that's right.
That little main street in Zillion Opal. And we're like, wow, how did we not know any of this existed? And God knows they've been doing horse trader days, you know, for years because they really did do that up there. Now it's this cheeky corner kind of boutique. There's there are breweries, and it's just, you know, Yinzers, you got to get out.
Yeah.
You know,
be a tourist in your own city.
Yes.
You know, explore there. And I'm one of those people that when you're exploring, if there's one of those historical markers on the side of the street, like I'll stop my car and read.
Okay.
You learn the coolest things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We are celebrating 412 Eve and Grace.
Because it's 411.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Grace. So remind us what you, do you have to leave? Do you have to leave, I guess? Or no, you're going to stay around?
She's in.
Oh my God. This is great. It's just a
she
party.
She has questions. I can
get
see
the
them.
Tinsel. Get the tinsel. All right. So anyways, Sylvia McCoy is going to stay here from Berg Bits and Bites. Grace is going to stay here. The CEO of Bakery Square. We just increase you as you stay longer. Yeah. You'll be a retiree. In the meantime, it's John and Rachel. Water and Pour. 1 FM and AM 1020 KEDKA.
It's John and Rachel, and if you have not been listening, we will fill you in that we have two people who are not from Pittsburgh, but have been here long enough, maybe, but they certainly own their Pittsburgh facts. And so we have Grace, who is the CEO of Bakery Square. She's
40
here
minutes ago, David Ballarato could have broken that news story.
Right.
Yes.
That's exactly right. So Grace came to us to talk about 412 Day tomorrow at Bakery Square. And we acquainted her very, very quickly with Sylvia from Berg Bits and Bites. And they're fast friends. That's basically what happened. But we're adding another component. So even though you two are not directly from Pittsburgh, you bring so much to our city. And Dan Cashado, who is also here, also from the Brookline area, has property in the Brookline area, has some really great assets that we can't wait to tell you about that he works on in Pittsburgh. And you check out being one of them. And basically, he's going to give his feedback because he lives remote. So even though he's in Pittsburgh now, he actually lives in South Bend, Indiana. So it's sort of the reverse of you guys in that he has a ton of Pittsburgh knowledge, like 5 decades worth. Yes, and now he comes back and forth, and he can certainly kind of fill in the little blanks that you may have. So there you go. That's our welcome to Dan.
Dan.
Thank you.
Dan.
Dan is adding to our 412 Eve celebration. Mm-hmm. So Dan, if you didn't bring wine, champagne, or some Limburger cheese, you know, we'll have to actually know what we would want is to have, bring some
Super
of your
side.
Dad's
yeah.
Prosciutto.
Prosciutto.
Prosciutto, did you say, right? Yes. Prosciutto, this Irish guy says.
So please don't do your Italian accent, John.
I will definitely not do that because I live vicariously through all my Italian friends. So Dan, tell us a little bit about, you know, the pages that you have that celebrate Pittsburgh and how, you know, again, you are one of those people we're trying to play Red Rover to get back, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Eventually.
So, tell us about the Facebook pages you have where fans and over tons of fans about Pittsburgh.
Yes, I'm the administrator and founder of a page called Straight Out of Pittsburgh, and it's about, we just connect people who have left the burg, like myself, and people who never left, and people who have left and come back, and it's just your daily dose of hometown pride, basically, so sharing photos and videos, news, events about the city of Pittsburgh. And started in 2014.
Dan, wait, I love that you go, I have this little thing, it's called Straight Out of 150,000 followers. Like, can we just
a little thing.
Let's just start there. I mean, Dan, you have your finger on the pulse. And go ahead, I didn't mean, I had to break in because you're so humble about it.
No, I started it in 2014, in the fall of 2014, and did not expect it to grow as it has over the last 10 years. So
sure.
It's been amazing.
Yeah. But you are a Pittsburgher true and true. John jokes all the time. You're part of our team as well.
Yes.
And so you do a lot with the Jags. And what I love, you know us best. Our team jokes, there's about 13 of them on our team. And when we have our Wednesday call, they always say, if John and Rachel were to walk away, it's not a big deal because Dan's really the guy. Like, it's the truth. It's the truth. He literally is our IT guy. He's our algorithm guy. He doesn't even live here day to day, but he'll be like, did you guys hear what happened? And we're like, no, Dan, what happened? Inquiring minds. Want to know. So you're a Pittsburgher because why, Dan? Why do you love Pittsburgh? They explain why they love it as onlookers who have sort of gotten woven into, but what's your reason?
The people,
yeah.
The neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I grew up in Bloomfield, and then later on, before my senior year of high school, we moved to Brookline, and we kept our house there even though we left about 15 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been that long.
Yeah. You guys, again, play Red Rover. And right now, Pittsburgh is losing in that game because, you know, you're doing your thing out there in Indiana. And we do get you back all the time. So when you compare the people, you just talked about the Pittsburgh people being kind of the pride of Pittsburgh. What's it like out there in Indiana? Do you find it, is it small townish enough that it is friendly, or is it just a different pace, a different type of people? What's that like out there? Because it's, you know, it's a university, it's a huge university town. So is it a mixture of cultures?
It's a smaller community. You have the same vibe though. You have a lot of younger people actually moving from the Chicago area, from the Michigan area now, and it's just great. It's, you know, Pittsburgh has these great diverse neighborhoods. There, it's a little smaller, not as many neighborhoods, but just a lot of great, you know, restaurants and culture there with the University of Notre Dame, where my wife works, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Shout out Amanda.
But no, it's a great little town, and yeah, we like it.
So we've asked everybody, continue to participate in the program here for 412 Eve.
And which is 411, Dan.
Neighborhood, nuh-uh. So what's a neighborhood that you know from growing up here?
That would be a fun fact, Dan. No, you know we didn't prepare him, right? You know everybody else got
fun
the memo
fact.
But him. Yeah.
I just posted that. I always just, you know, Pittsburgh has almost 400 bridges, which... I posted last week, was not aware that, you know, we had that many. And supposedly it's the most in the world. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Okay. So we were just talking about this today. It's 446, right?
Yes.
Because
I should know it because I did post the exact
number. I think
which is why the 446 club is at the Rivers Casino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. See, well, Dan, we can teach you
right
a couple.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Coming straight out of KDKA, Dan. What's up?
but you missed the fact that Grace was talking about not being from Pittsburgh. She went to the Heinz History Center and read this blurb about how like 57 really has zero meaning. Oh, are you going to challenge that?
No, share a conspiracy?
Yeah.
No, I think you're
okay. You think she's right?
There is a reason.
Oh, dun, 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 dun.
Oh gosh,
Grace, you silly Jersey girl.
What's your fact on that, Dan? Do you
He's
know?
He's gonna have to look it up. I can see it.
You have to Google it.
Is it because he thought it sounded good?
Something like that.
Okay. But that's still a non.
There you go.
It's like a non-reason.
Still a non-reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sounded good. You know, Sylvia, did we even ask you? You're not.
Not yet.
Okay, so you were like, I've been sitting here patiently waiting.
She's got a million of them with her tours.
All right. So I live out by the airport in Moon Township, and Coreopolis, we share a zip code. So I'm down in Corey often. I actually would like to do a food tour in Corey eventually.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too.
Very good. And so, okay, there was two nuh-uh. So there was a train station. There still is an old train station there. But a train used to run from Pittsburgh all the way out to Beaver Falls. It was a passenger train. Okay. A lot of people would commute. And that was in the 1890s. Not a big nuh-uh thing, but the nuh-uh thing is that it ran until 1985.
What?
And would take commuters from Coreopolis into the city until 1985.
John, that's nuh-uh.
That is. Is that cool?
Yeah, I mean, it's so
actually,
cool.
Actually, at this point, I don't know why we wouldn't still have that. To be honest,
right?
I guess cost of operation. But when you think of traffic and Port Authority buses and all that kind of Route 51 and 65, I mean, that's nuts that we don't have that.
Yep, I think that all the time. And then there's one other nuh-uh fact. You want me to share that?
Do it.
So Pittsburgh was known for glassmaking mm-hmm. in the late 1800s. Coreopolis, they had a Consolidated Lamp and Glass, and they were the largest lighting glass firm in the U.S. in 1910 and employed over 400 people. Wow. So, and that was until the 1960s.
Wow.
That's a How great that? Point. Yeah. So cool. Nuh-uh.
Everybody at the count of three. Yeah, there you go. It is Rachel.
Did you know it was the eve of 412, right. Which means it's 411.
Right. It's Rachel and John. We're jagging around. We have Dan. We have Sylvia. We have Grace. And we are celebrating the eve of 412. We're going to kind of, Dan, we're going to put this out on the radio that you have a kryptonite in your life. You sound so meek and humble.
I knew he was going to say this.
But you have a kryptonite and people can trigger you if they want to. And it's Steeler related. But in the meantime, it's John and Rachel. This is 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDK. It is Rachel and John jagging around on 412 Eve. And we have a room, a studio full of people here. We've never had this before in our career, our long, illustrious career since August of 2024.
Yes.
And again, Rachel and John, and we appreciate all the help that Ryan's given us over in the background there. And if traffic's not a problem now, because everybody's literally here.
But that maybe that's you started that because you hate traffic. You just told everybody that you want to talk about things that annoy you, because for some reason you're in therapy session. And what annoys you, number one?
Well, you just gave it up there.
Well, I know it. That's number one, right?
I would say, you know, we teased this going into it that, you know, what Dan has a kryptonite. He's the nicest, most soft-spoken person, mm-hmm. but he does have a trigger. And so
why are you shucking this to him?
I will go first and say my trigger is traffic. No doubt about it. Part of the reason it's my own fault because I'm late to everything.
Oh,
right?
Uh-huh.
So because I get started late. So now traffic becomes my problem. So I'm blaming my problem on them. So I do get it. But I am a different person when I'm in traffic. There's no doubt about
it. He is a different, I promise you. This person does not exist. If you had to come with me today from the airport to here. It was an ugly place to be.
I get triggered when you hear the traffic reports here.
Here.
Dan, 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 dan. You hear those horns. I'm like, Yeah, I think someone's beeping at me.
All
What's
right,
your
go
trigger,
ahead
Rachel?
And turf it.
No, we're not turfing it. What's your trigger?
I get annoyed with the Pittsburgh's fixation with Primanties. I'm sorry. It just drives me
nuts. Oh, Dan. Dan's sending you a sympathy card. Right? No, well, what's your big annoyance?
But the Primanties thing, you know, let me just go on this rant real quick. Dan just did the AI thing for us where we did the Jagoff dolls,
yes.
Or the action figures, hysterical,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so many people were like, why aren't there fries on her salad? And I was like, because that's just stupid. I can't stand that we're known for this. Like, it drives me crazy. But anyway, so the Primanties fixation, I do love Primanties and I'm proud that Primanties started here and my boys eat me out of house and home with Primanties, but it would be the poor language, our grammar, in the sense that we have the lazy tongue and they say, like would of. Like it's would have. It's a contraction. Would have. Would have. Not would of. I literally read something today that said I would have gone, and I was like,
look at her face.
The preposition of is not in there. That is a huge trigger of mine.
All right, so Grace, what is your trigger?
Well, going along with that,
yes.
When they say,
because I think you're my daughter. Go ahead.
When people say I'm gonna get a shower, I'm like, you're gonna take a shower,
right?
Right. I'm gonna have a shower. I'm yeah. like, no, you're taking a shower.
Right.
You're not getting a shower. You're not having a shower.
Right. And so, I do fall victim of it because I'm so used to hearing it, but I usually can correct myself. Yeah. Sorry. Sylvia, your turn.
So my trigger, I guess it's not really a Pittsburgh thing because it doesn't happen as much here, but I don't like whenever I open the door for someone and they walk through and don't say thank you.
Oh, oh. Yeah. Do you trip them? Do you slam the door on them?
No, or, I just say you're welcome.
Yeah.
Do
you say it under your breath? Do you say it under your breath, or do you make sure
know.
They hear it?
I don't know. Sometimes it depends. Like, it depends on how they're walking through.
Okay.
It sounds so petty.
It's not petty.
It's courtesy.
It is. It's just acknowledge the people around you.
And if your children are with you, does it upset them when you do that? Because when I do my kids are like, oh my God, I know what she's about to do. It's gonna happen. You can't help it. It's so true.
Yeah it's just be kind, you
be
know?
Kind
yeah. And so that's true. What we know, that's the Pittsburgh brand, is we've all discussed that, so continue the brand. That's right. All right, Dan, here we go. Dan, again, we've done, what is that in on Seinfeld where you claim what your issue is, right? It's
but now I'm gonna
we're
forget.
Doing that on 412 Eve.
Yes.
And so we've gotten to Dan, who's the most just quiet, nice guy. Like, you know, he'd probably be the guy I'm beeping at as I'm driving through Brookline trying to get to Peterland. But Dan, your kryptonite, your trigger is what?
Steelers play calling specifically. It used to be Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians, yes.
But you now know, now it's even bigger than that, Dan. Now it's like the entire play calling.
Play calling.
I love it.
I mean, Pittsburgh's such a great sports town, but we're so passionate about the sports teams, particularly the Steelers. And just like other diehard Pittsburgh sports fans, we just do not like the play calling.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It is true.
Of course, Bruce Arians got the last laugh and he ends up winning the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So he showed me.
He showed you.
He's like, hey, Dan, go get mad about this.
So, Dan, you know, I told you before you came in that the premise of us having the conversation tonight was that obviously tomorrow is 412 day. We have this great thing happening in Bakery Square. Grace has told us all kinds of fun things from 12 to 4. But in addition, so Pittsburgh, you can appreciate this. John and I were at Mancini's in the Strip District last week. And who do we see but Sylvia, who has a whole tour of Berg Bits and Bites. Now, we knew that she was up for this award. So we've been talking about it on our Mazda Monday, you know, posting about it, reminding people to vote because we really want Pittsburgh to get behind this. But it is so Pittsburgh that we're going to Woolies because it's our routine on, especially for Holy, you know, it's Lent. So John and I go to Woolies every Friday, and we get in line at 10:43. That's what time we get, because literally we've realized 11 o'clock is too late and 10:30 is sort of too early, you know.
And we're getting to be older people that need to have a routine, and we know if you show up to bingo at 2 minutes earlier, you can get Margie's and Linda's cards.
I don't think it's that bad, but nonetheless. So we literally run into one of her Berg Bits and Bites, and I loved walking into Mancini's. Describe for everybody what I saw when I was there, because, you know, it's this small storefront, and it's so Pittsburgh, Dan, because all these people are crowded around. They're walking around the Strip District getting a tour, and they go into Mancini's. And what happens?
So when we go into Mancini's, everyone, obviously we talk about the history of the business and everyone gets a piece of their awesome cinnamon bread, but they have that beautiful bread sculpture.
Oh, yeah.
And which Mancini's is known for. But yeah, we love to talk about the story and how the Baker brothers and the Mancini's family, how they merged, and the Baker brothers went out of business back then and during the Great Depression. Mancini's kind of took over. And interesting fact about Mancini's, a lot of places say fresh baked here on premise. Well, yeah, maybe fresh baked, but they make it from scratch right on the premises. So that means they're making it right at the Mancini's in the Strip District.
And wait, they give you cinnamon bread. I thought they gave you pepperoni roll.
No, we talk about the pepperoni roll.
Oh.
Yeah, which, by the way, is not a Pittsburgh thing. It's a West Virginia thing.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
And I love that you're mad.
Yeah, so we have
How about that? Okay, there you go. See, you learn something every day.
One of the things that has to go on the Pittsburgh Berg, the Berg Bites tour is that Dan's dad makes the best prosciutto ever. So this was classic Dan's story where he and his mom, we were making these older videos back then. They were sort of the version, earlier version of G-Chits. We went to Dan and his mom and dad invited us to their house. We had homemade wine. And his dad had all of these hams hanging in his just this little cellar room, all in different stages of drying and dripping. And then jars and jars of tomato sauce. Yes. Dan, talk about that a little bit. Like, did you grow up on that? And why aren't you 800 pounds?
Yeah, my mom makes sauce every August. And they make prosciutto and sausage. I think the time is in early in the year, January and February, for as long as I can remember. And homemade wine, of course.
Yeah.
And you do the wine in September. So, you know, we know every August it's time to make the sauce. And we'll go out to the farms and pick bushels and bushels of tomatoes, fill up my parents' van at the time, and then go home. And we spend, I think, at least a week just making at least 100 to 200 jars of sauce. It's, you know, dwindled down since then. But
and then wait, do they use it every week for sauce?
Every Sunday, twice a week.
Wednesday and Sunday.
Tuesday or Wednesday and Sunday. Sundays, yeah, definitely.
In my family, it was Wednesday and Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what the Abruzzese
do. In the prosciutto, because I didn't know anything back then, I'd say, can you just make me one of those? What did you say? Yeah, it takes about 5 years or whatever it was, right? You don't just make a prosciutto.
It's cured ham, basically. Mm-hmm. So when you start the process in January, it takes at least a year to cure that ham in order to be able to eat it.
The good news is that we have a full vegan podcast that's coming up after this. So if you do not want to hear about ham, it is okay. We have you completely covered. This is the Voice of Pittsburgh, 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.